Hey everyone, this is episode 22 of Noodle Time. Welcome, finally. Here with me is the gentleman responsible of picking up Star Wars Rebels option for the 22 season, Tony Rubio. Tony, say hello.
Yeah, hey guys, I'm a Darwin's Rent representative. I have about a blackmail on every single MLS GM to keep this man employed. So thank you for coming.
Thank you for that favor that you did for us. He definitely one of the players that had to come back to the team after this amazing season.
Yeah, absolutely. You can let everybody go, but you keep El Salvador's captain, baby.
Yes. But yeah, obviously it's been 2 months since the last episode. So thank you guys for sticking with us once again. It's been a really wild ride on our end, and obviously outside of the season, Dynamo season, not the dash for that much, but the season overall, like on and off the field, has been pretty wacky for us, and it's been an interesting one. Not only because of everything that has been happening on our ends, but also because of this being the worst season in Dynamo history, technically speaking. So, yeah, there's that going for us right now. And we're just going to go ahead and start reviewing the season, pretty much what we've missed so far. Try to like round that up. And also, we're going to talk a little bit about Pat Onstad since we didn't get a chance to talk about it. Whenever he was announced during a Noodle Time, and we're gonna go through the off season so far. Pretty much go through the players that the Dynamo have let go, through the options and the rumors that have been going around, which have been pretty interesting and line up to what Tetsigo has been promising us so far. And we have only been missing action so far, so it's going to be a good one, I'm sure.
Yeah, guys, I mean, like Andres said, it's been a while, but, you know, apart from not being able to record just because of life being crazy and job and, you know, et cetera, it's just honestly, even when there was a time I wasn't really feeling like recording because, yeah, this last Dynamo season really took it out of me. And, you know, we're diehard till the end, but it was just miserable to watch games and let alone have a podcast every week after a terrible season. So, you know, no need to just come on here and talk absolute shit for an hour.
Well, yeah.
But now we've had time to digest and recharge with somewhat glimmer of hope. You know, we've heard a couple rumors now that gives us false hope, but you know, in Seagal we trust, and Pat we trust, so we're back and we're ready to build up our hopes and then tear them down eventually.
Oh yeah, and we do this obviously because we love it, but obviously it's the support that you guys gave us, not only through Ko-fi but also because through social media, all the feedback that you guys have been sending us for the entire season, and we just wanted to thank you guys for that. Obviously, with the season over, not much going on. There's a good chance this might be like the last episode of the year, but with obviously which a lot of things to come, more episodes, and hopefully more content going your way at some point. We're looking forward to it, and this being like the first season of the podcast, we love doing it. Obviously, we just have to like work on recording, work on that, our times to record at our own convenience. But yeah, we just wanted to give you guys a shout out once again for sticking with us for the entire season, and hopefully you guys be there for what's next for us.
Yeah, shout out to the Noodle Nation.
To all
you nudes out there.
It's the foxes, yeah.
Foxes, whatever you guys want to be called.
Or
we're an inclusive space here. Hashtag. But I mean, the MLS playoffs, first of all, just to touch on that. I don't know about you, Andres, but it's probably been the most disconnected I've been from MLS in general in a long time. I just have had very little interest in MLS playoffs, and when I have watched them, I mean, the games have been not a great standard so far. Even as MLS lovers, 100%, it's just been tough to watch that. And I mean, we just watched Portland knock out RSL to the final. And I don't know about you, but I definitely don't want to see Portland lift the cup. It's one of those teams I love to see lose. And now that I said that, they're probably going to be the winners of MLS Cup. But we'll see if a COVID-stricken Philly or NYCFC can take them down, hopefully.
Yeah, if NYCFC win it, it's gotta be something else. But yeah, like me trying to watch like MLS as a neutral, like I obviously when the Dynamo are not involved, like it's kind of hard for me to stick to the playoffs, like unless like the playoffs are like pretty attractive, like or like the games I watch consistently are good. But yeah, like the games I've been watching so far, They got crazy at times. This game especially, like it wasn't that crazy compared to like the other ones. But like the last NYCFC's game against Ningbo Revolution to knock them out, which was like pretty. That game was pretty entertaining. And those kinds of games that helped me stay tuned over the course of the playoffs all the way to MLS Cup. And yeah, it's kind of different. And Portland, it's one of those teams that I admire to an extent, but at the same time, I can understand why people can get salty towards them.
Yeah, I'm definitely. I respect them. Don't get me wrong. All the fans, all the status around the team, but that doesn't mean I'm never gonna forget Mauro Manotas knocking him out of the playoffs and all the middle fingers from the sea of Timbers Army. But
oh yeah.
That's it. Let them get to MLS Cup and enjoy it, and we'll have solace in those few moments in the past few years. But, you know, you guys let us know if you've been interested in MLS playoffs at all. Firstly, I mean, I'm an MLS lover, but I think it's time the playoffs get updated again. With more teams coming into the league, it's going to become even harder. So, you know, let us know if you guys think how the playoffs should change, if they should even exist. Single table nation out there, I don't know. But, anyways, let's get into to talk a little bit more about the Dynamo, what you guys came to even hear about.
Yeah, we're gonna go ahead and pretty much round up the season now that it's over. Since we didn't get a chance to do it whenever that happened back in Halloween, which was like the last game for the Dynamo. Obviously, a road loss against Montreal, but I didn't want to bring up that result, but just like the fact that this season as a whole, it's already on the record being the worst season for Dynamo in its entire history. And not obviously, like you can look at 2020, but you can't really put that on the record only because that season had like less games because of the pandemic. And yeah, like just looking back at the entirety of the season and looking back how Tab tried to handle this team under the leadership of Matt Jordan at the time, obviously not here anymore. And yeah, just trying to work around the entire year in those circumstances, pretty much how you can also consider the fact that everything that Matt Jordan has quote-unquote work towards, and obviously Gabriel Brenner, like everything just came together and it literally made 2021. And you're just looking at the stats themselves, you can literally see it, like only because this is like this is the lowest finish in the Western Conference Dynamo ever had at 13th place underneath Austin FC. Like pretty much like both of us were wooden spoon contenders at one point if it wasn't for FC Cincinnati going back to back. And
I mean, it was almost like we had a glimmer of hope there for a second after the 16 game losing streak or whatever, not winning streak. And then we
winless, yeah.
We got El Capitan from FC Dallas, which this season feels like it matters the least more than ever. And then we freaking lost to Austin twice away. Well, we had beat Austin at home, and it seemed like Tab was maybe going to right the ship a little bit. And then just, I mean, the team just fell apart again at the end of the season. Absolutely no chance. I mean, we're kind of rounding up how the season went, how the end of the season went. But honestly, it all became a blur to me at that point. Loss after loss, terrible results at home against Colorado and with the Galaxy as well. And then just to top it off with Montreal away, being the only team in MLS this season not to win away, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And
yeah, that's correct.
That's just
the same thing. The first time in Dynamo history, Dynamo didn't win a single road game during the regular season. So it's another one for the record books. And that, and also the first time in Dynamo history, the Dynamo finished last place in the conference standings back-to-back seasons. So yeah, that we got that going right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I started a new job semi-recently, and one of the few people at my work that knows anything about MLS is an LAFC fan, and he's just like, man, I feel bad for you being a Dynamo fan. Like, man, even people that barely follow MLS know what's up with our misery. So, I mean, just a point to be made. Obviously, it was a season of worse, and it seems like this might be rock bottom, hopefully, and from here we'll go up. You know, obviously under way better leadership from Onstad and Ted, but you know, let's still put a asterisk next to what's coming, because we can't expect results and success right away. In my opinion, I don't know what to expect this year, and I'm not setting any expectations. But obviously, till offseason, until we hire a freaking head coach, get some more players in. But with this MLS offseason being significantly shorter, I believe, right? It's only like 2 months.
Yeah, the season opener is late February, so yeah, we pretty much have 2 months to get it together.
Yeah, so it's very little to do a lot of things, especially since we don't even have a head coach yet. I think that makes it a little bit harder to convince players to come to this project, right? I mean, to convince players to even stay, we're trying to re-sign them on a contract. Like, who are they going to have a chance under? I think is their thoughts. So Pat Onstad said we should be hiring a coach by December 31st is their soft deadline that they've set or whatever. And that gives you a couple weeks or almost the end of the month until the end of January till preseason starts to get a whole team together. And let's just think about that when we set our expectations for next season.
Yeah, and on Glenn Davis's show, by the times he has come on, it's been a handful of times by now. Like, he did hint at to what to expect during the coaching search. Like, he did mention that the leading candidates were like foreign, and also like the search was going well. Obviously, the last one being pretty big, but it was just interesting to see that he has been going to like Mexico and South America for like players and the coaches, and it's interesting to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, so where do we start here on this end of the season / into the off season podcast that we're doing? Obviously, as you guys all know, Tab Ramos left. I guess we can also start with that. He was not renewed on his contract since it was the end of his contract. Obviously, not a amazing 2 years from Tab Ramos. I think statistically the worst head coach we've had in our history in terms of winning percentage, if I'm not incorrect. You know.
Yeah, he has in the entire MLS, in the history of MLS, after 50 games, he has like the lowest points per game average with 0.91, and that's after 50 games.
See, this is I didn't know it was the whole MLS. I was talking about Dino, but Andres had to come and dunk on Tab here.
No, it was kind of dunk on Tab. But it just had like the stats listed with me. But yeah, I was hoping to talk about Tab too a little bit, because like, even though like I've been pretty much against Tab in the latter half of the season, I still feel kind of bad about it. Like, only because the circumstances given to us. But at the same time, the main reason I was pretty much a Tab out is because like the coaching decisions that he had made, especially like during the winless streak of 16 games, and like just like leading up to like the last 10 games of the regular season. Yeah, like I still feel bad about it, but at the same time, I shouldn't be, you know?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's soccer. It's the business. It's the game. I think everybody still gives full respect for Ramos, obviously the career he had as a player and experience he had with the U.S. Youth National Team. And, I mean, I remember the day Ramos was hired. I had no idea it was going to happen. So the news, I've never been so happy and excited for the Dynamo. And, you know, the same thing happened when we signed Eric Hugo Torres, you know, freaking 5 years ago. And I think those are just two pivotal moments as a Dynamo fan that I just felt like extreme jubilation. I was like, this cannot be happening. Our team is going to turn around. And both times that I felt like absolute happiness from those moments, it has not happened. So at this point, I am a soulless Dynamo fan that will never enjoy anything again. Hopefully, so we can actually enjoy something collectively as a fan base.
Yes, but on the bright side, Kubo did get a hat trick at one point, so there's that.
Oh, wow. I'm glad we spent freaking $8 million for a hat trick, but...
Yes.
No, I mean, Tab had a hard hand to deal with. Obviously, it was not an easy situation. Being in a situation with a team that didn't spend a lot, that was in the midst of a sale, in the midst of a pandemic, with a not very deep roster, an incompetent general manager. You know, the list goes on. But like Andres said, I think a lot of coaches in those moments could have, pulled themselves up by the bootstraps, as people like to say, and gotten creative with it. And that's a lot easier said than done for guys like us. But at the end of the day, jobs are kept by results, and in everybody's job, and Tab. Yeah. Unfortunately, just didn't get those results. And there just wasn't even enough promise to say, hey, maybe let's give this guy another round, even though no playoffs, but he had this terrible squad, but he was showing exciting soccer. He was, you know, blah, blah, blah. It was never even there. It wasn't even like, for example, Pablo Mascherini, former Ramos assistant, who took his RSL team that doesn't even have an owner all the way to the semifinals. I mean, they played ugly, but they showed heart. They won games, and that's what matters at the end of the day. And, you know, we wish to have the best, but it just, once again, it was not the freaking right fit for a head coach in this Houston Dynamo. So I think that also plays a part into anybody coming into this organization. We've heard of a few names being mentioned in the head coaching search, but yeah, I mean, I guess we can jump in, I guess, to that a little bit. Like Andres said, Onstad has been in a couple interviews. And in the Glenn Davis interview last week, he specifically mentioned that they are looking for a younger coach to sort of mold, because Pat wants to have a say. You know, he should. Like, we should have a little bit more of a overarching direction instead of just giving complete control to somebody. I mean, you could always say that, hey, let's get this proven guy, like Bob Bradley, for example, give him all the money and all the power, and, you know, like the success he's had in the past, we should improve. But I guess that's not the role that we want to go to. And, you know, I respect that. And Tab specifically said, I mean, Tab, not Tab. Let's forget about him. Pat specifically said that he's looking for a younger manager, somebody that is willing to learn, but obviously also has a good track record. You know, MLS experience has been mentioned in the past. That's really far and few between at this point. There's not much to choose from at that. And he's also been looking at foreign options. So, you know, we've heard he's gone to Mexico. He's in South America right now. A lot of promising option there. But something they mentioned specifically in the podcast was that, you know, those proven coaches like, you know, Tuca Ferretti from Tigres in the past, I don't know, bigger coaches like El Piojo from Tigres, you know, these guys have their whole squad of, you know, this is my assistant coach, this is my director, this is my freaking massage therapist. You know, they bring their whole squad, get everybody jobs, and that's fine. But Pat said that's something that they're definitely not going to do, because he really respects the work of guys, you know, like Paul Rogers, the goalkeeping coach, forgetting his name right now, Paul McCaffrey or something, the conditioning coach. I'm sorry if I butchered his name. But so he wants to keep a core together and kind of bring his new guy in and and mold them. And the names that we have heard that can be confirmed is Luchi Gonzalez, former FC Dallas coach, who just signed to be the U.S. men's national team assistant coach. And another name that was also interviewed was Nico Esteves, the former USMNT assistant coach who just signed for FC Dallas. So, you know, I mean, a lot of you might not like that we're dealing with a lot of FC Dallas exes, but apparently they gave us the cold shoulder and went for other opportunities. So that's two names to mark off the list.
And yeah, and I wanted to talk about a little bit about Pat Onstad, like just going off his few interviews and also the fact that we didn't get to talk in noodle time. But just listening to the first press conference, like, and all the all his appearances, all the answers he's giving, like, you can already tell, like, he's you can already tell, like, the experience in action, like, compared to Matt Jordan. Obviously, just looking at, like, the Pat Onstad's record compared to Matt Jordan, like, there's absolutely no competition at all. And Pat Onstad actually knows what he's doing. So just keep that in mind. Just like whenever you listen to whatever he has to say, like, he already knows what he's doing, and which is pretty significant because, like, Matt Jordan pretty much has was driving a really delicate car, like, with his eyes folded, so with it, like, being the dynamo, so to an extent. So it's yeah, you can just, like, listen to this passion, just listen to like even like the former dynamo players, like, are pretty much behind him because, like, they have, like, confidence in him, and that's, like, the kind of a GM, like, the dynamo needed now, because, like, they need people that want to be in the organization despite of what they're going through, and that's all that matters at this point. So at this point, like, it's good to have these kinds of players, like, because, like we just mentioned earlier in the episode, like, this is rock bottom right now, and the Dynamo need the people that want to be here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point to make, people that want to be here. Obviously, Houston isn't always talked about as the most desirable place in the world to live. Obviously, as an organization, the Dynamo is not the most sought after facilities-wise, professionalism-wise, to be at. But, you know, like, you guys all heard the talk when Pat got signed, that he had this long PowerPoint presentation, and he said that since he retired back in 08 or whenever he left DC United after the Dynamo, that he's always dreamed of coming back to the Dynamo and, you know, kind of leading this team in a different fashion. You know, he used to be aiming to be a head coach, but then he moved kind of back into the technical director, GM position of the game. And, you know, he's kind of always had his eyes set on that. So that's what he said, according to him. And, you know, that's something that you love to hear, especially as a club legend that led us to two MLS Cups. But, you know, like they say, talk is cheap. You know, Tab Ramos was a talker. We all loved how he treated the media, treated the fans in English and Spanish. And, you know, but at the end of the day, it's results is results. And, you know, I love all that Pat's saying, but I'm interested to see how he takes on decisions with his team, especially with the coaching job, who he hires around him, that there is word that he's signing a technical director soon. And, yeah, the players that he brings in. So let's, like, I guess with that, why don't we kind of go into the team side of things, Andres, about who's not coming back. I don't know if you want to mention first any significant performances or insignificant performances from players from this past season. And just kind of get into who's coming back and who's not.
Oh, well, yeah, we can definitely transition to the off season now. We can talk about, like, the players that are we know for sure are going to be out for now. Obviously, with, like, the players getting their options declined, there might be a few more, a few of them coming back if everything works out. But for now, we do know that Bonilla Garcia is not coming back. That's, like, the first player we knew he was going to return since his contract is pretty much over after this season. And he pretty much said that he wants to keep playing somewhere. So it's easy to assume that he's probably gonna finish his career somewhere in Honduras or somewhere else. But yeah, this one kind of hurts. Obviously, Boniek being here for 10 seasons, and just like looking back at pretty much everything that Dynamo have been through, and just like him staying for all this time, it hurts because like he showed his commitment to the Dynamo, he showed his love for the city and like how his family and loves Houston too, and it just hurts that he has to leave this way. But obviously he's 37, he's thinking about like how he's gonna finish off his career, which is understandable, and I'm gonna miss him a lot, and hopefully he can return to the organization, which looks like it's gonna be in the cards. So I hope that happens.
Yeah, I mean, understandably, Boniek, you know, I guess he's blessed that he's still healthy, that he has you know, he's been keeping himself fit. He feels like he has more in his legs. So I mean, personally, that's awesome. We would obviously all love to see him retire in Orange this past season, but you know, it wasn't the best season to retire in terms of how the club was playing either. And you know, he's still part of the Honduras national team one way or another. And even though, you know, it's looking like they're not going to qualify to the World Cup at all or even be close with the results that they've been putting out so far, you know, he wants to play and maybe see out, because, you know, there's always a chance. If you can play another World Cup, then you have to be there. And same with Minor. So, you know, we could have seen them back in Honduras where they're, you know, national legends. But I don't think there's any way another MLS team will sign them. You know, that's no slight to Boniek or Minor, but they're just not at the level anymore, unfortunately. So I would love to see them maybe in USL, because I think they're probably going to stay in the States most likely if they don't go anywhere else. But, you know, maybe we'll see them somewhere in RGV where, you know, Wilmer Cabrera knows them well, or somewhere else. So we'll keep tuning on that. And I'm sure Boniek, you know, I think it was mentioned that he was offered a role with the club. And, you know, in due time, hopefully he comes back kind of like Rico Clark did and retires in Orange, and we keep him in the organization. So we'll see what happens with that front.
Yeah, with that one, Alejandro Fuenmayor's contract also expires this year, and it doesn't look like it's going to get renewed. Obviously, fellow countryman that hasn't had like a pretty stellar career with the Dynamo, although he's been involved with the Open Cup, so there's that. But yeah, it's a player that has not been seeing a lot of minutes over the past couple of years, and yeah, I can say about Fuenmayor, unfortunately.
He was promising to start. You know, we thought it was
to start, yeah.
Maybe we're going to be one of those players you bring from an obscure South American team that not a lot of MLS teams have dipped into. More so, more Venezuelans are coming now to MLS, but at that point, there were few and far between. And I mean, I just remember Fuenmayor lining up next to Felipe Senderos for that season. And I think at one point they were like the highest scoring duo of center backs in the world. Like at that point in the season, they had like 6 or 7 goals together. They were just scoring like crazy off corner kicks. So, I mean, at that point, I thought maybe Fuenmayor was going to be a franchise center back for us. And, you know, he was going to keep getting better. But, you know, unfortunately, he's a little bit of a clumsy defender, and he just couldn't find his footing in terms of consistency with several coaches that came through the ranks for him. But, you know, we wish him the best. You know, it seems like he's found himself here in Houston with his family, with friends. And it's interesting to see if another MLS team will give him a shot. I don't think it'd be crazy to end up seeing him somewhere in MLS, like a Charlotte, somewhere that he can go be depth, but, you know, start on a new slate, or USL, or back to South America. But I have a feeling we're most likely still going to see him in stateside somewhere.
Yeah. And from there, they did, after a few weeks later, after the season ended, or actually not a few weeks, but rather like a month, 1 month or 2 weeks later, they did announce like the roster options. So they did decline options for 7 players, those being Jose Bisama, Minor Figueroa, Eric McHugh, Marco Marich, Kyle Morton, Darwin Quintero, and Maxi Rudy. And most of those names are unsurprising, considering that Marco Marich is the MVP of the Houston Dynamo this year, as we all know. co-MVP with Darwin Serrano, by the way. But I'm joking. Not really. But
yeah, I mean, Marco unfortunately came in already on the wrong foot, and not because of his own fault. It was more Matt Jordan and the organization deciding to spend, you know, an international slot and transfer monies. I believe, I don't know if he was signed as a free agent from Europe, but I think we spent, you know, some sort of money getting him in from abroad and taking up an international spot for a goalkeeper that frankly wasn't very good. And he was on the team before that got relegated in the Norwegian first division, I believe. So I don't know what the heck Matt Jordan was thinking with that scouting information. But, you know, he got his chances, and unfortunately, you know, he's super good for making show-stopping saves, but he's just not consistent enough and is always due for an absolute shocker every couple of games. I'm talking about that Colorado game where he tried to freaking dribble it out. I don't know if you remember that one.
Remember that one.
There's a few of them. You can't forget them. So we wish him the best. Pat Onstad did say there's a couple players that they're still negotiating. So if you guys don't know, you can decline the option to the contract. And then obviously the player then is free to start negotiating elsewhere. But also the Dynamo at that point can negotiate with them to bring them back on a different contract. Because if they exercise the option, they would have to bring them back at that same salary point. Yeah, that's correct, right, Andres?
Yeah, and I think they might give either Maxi Rodi or Darwin Quintero a shot. At least that's what I'm guessing, not like insider knowledge, but just based on the fact that Quintero pretty much showed up in the last latter half of the season. I wonder why, because he hasn't been getting a lot of minutes, but it just shows that he has some fuel left in the tank. But obviously, at this point in his career, he's not a designated player anymore. So it would be smart to keep him with the at the right price. Also for Rudy, even though I don't think Rudy's gonna come back, so he will have to take like a pretty good cut out of his last paycheck with the Dynamo. But yeah. But the one that stings me the most probably is Eric McHugh, only because like he's a fellow
friend
of the podcast, and not getting his option picked up, it's it kind of hurts me, honestly. And also him seeing a lot of minutes in USL this year, but I was kind of sad it didn't work out for him, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, no, Eric was a great guy when we had him here on the podcast. He was super friendly, and you know, his USL season wasn't the best. I don't think being at Charleston was exactly the best place to be, regardless, either. It wasn't, I mean, if any Charleston fans out there listen, I don't know, but it didn't seem like the most professional place to be and to go kind of nurturing. And at least if it wasn't the most professional place, at least would have hoped he's starting 90 minutes every single game. But he was being played at right back for Charleston. He was being, one week he was starting, and then the other week he wasn't even in the squad. So I don't know if that's due to injuries or what, but, you know, we know Eric was really promising, and but honestly, it's not surprising that the Dynamo aren't exactly calling him back to even come and compete, because, you know, we have probably our two starting defenders already defined with Tim Parker and Tine Chadebe, and then, you know, we have Ethan Bartlow in the back who didn't even get a chance this season, but I'm sure they're itching to see him healthy this year and hopefully challenge for minutes, along with I'm sure one or two other center backs that we're going to be signing. So you know, we wish the best to Eric. Hopefully he finds a place where he can finally go be 100% healthy and play week in, week out. But I mean, apart from that, Kyle Morton, third string goalkeeper, wasn't really surprised to see him go. He got a start in that last game versus Montreal. Hopefully he finds somewhere, you know, because he's the former, I believe, USL keeper of the year. Yeah, and like Andres said, Quintero and Urruti might be brought back by the organization, because from what I understand, they were both making, I think Darwin was making over a million, and Urruti was making around $900,000 a year, which in MLS is quite a lot of money for somebody that frankly didn't produce very much. And you know, especially at Darwin Quintero's age, cannot be a DP anymore. So honestly, as a fan, happy is the word. I'd be okay if they decide not to bring either of them back, or one of them back, and I could also understand if they bring back, you know, Rudy on a way smaller contract, or Quintero on a smaller contract as well. So, I mean, that's just the reality of the game. You got to play with the budgets. You got to play with that GAM, that TAM, all that good stuff, baby. All that Garber money.
Oh yeah. And speaking about good stuff, they did bring back seven players. They did pick up options for seven of them. Griffin Dorsey's coming back, Sam Junco as well, Nico Lemoine, Tyler Pascher, Marcelo Palomino, obviously, balling out with Charlotte Independence and Pau Pico. And last but not least, Darwin Serrano.
Yes, sir. Okay, so obviously, out of all these options that were picked up by the Dynamo, I guess overall the consensus from the fans and from me and Andres, I think, has been that the Dynamo did really good in cutting a lot of players that frankly weren't good enough for the squad or just weren't going to get a chance, especially if we do move on from one of Quintero or Rudy Fully on those those not amazing on those amazingly huge contracts that they had. So the only one that I think most Dynamo fans are in consensus that are not happy to be brought back is Darwin Serén. Obviously, we know the quality he can have, but it's very inconsistent. And he's always also up for a random error that leads to a goal or a red card here and there that ruins the day for the team. So obviously no disrespect to Darwin Serén, but we've even seen El Salvador fans not exactly happy with his performances for the national team as a captain. So, like we joked about at the beginning, I think maybe he has some dirt on every single MLS GM and president in the league to be keep coming back. But not to get into this isn't to get into personal about people's money, because I mean that's just the reality of sports. But Darwin Serén's making, I think, over $300,000. Good for the man to secure the bag, but I think that's quite a lot of money for a center mid that isn't starting on any MLS squad, probably. This could just be Pat Onstad messing with us, and he already knows he's going to trade him away, or that Charlotte's going to pick him in the expansion draft. But obviously, we can't expect that at all at this point. So,
Yeah,
out of all the players re-signed, I just want to say Seren's the only one that I'm pretty upset to bring back. Other than that, everybody else I can see a case for, except maybe Nico Lemoine, who has had zero like participation in this squad barely, and his small participation didn't really show much to even merit one of those last roster spots on the team. But he's also a player that hasn't, even though we haven't seen much of him, we haven't seen him do like terribly. So we'll let that one suffice. But all the other ones I'm excited to see. Fafa, obviously Marcelo after getting a full season under his belt. I don't want to set his expectations super high, but I think we could have like a really good Dynamo Academy product that can contribute to this team off the bench every game. But and then from there, we'll see if he can grow.
Yeah, and one thing I wanted to say about Darwin Serén, it's one thing that I hear a lot about Darwin Serén is the fact that he's like a locker room guy. Like he's like a pretty good presence in the locker room, which is like a good thing. And also, I can recall him like having a pretty great season with the Dynamo back in 2020, I believe 2019 as well. But obviously, just lately, you look at how what he's been doing on the field and it's not good enough, and like you just said, it was pretty inconsistent. So I wouldn't be surprised if he was brought up just to so they can like leave him unprotected for the expansion draft, so they can like potentially take him or to like protect other players. But yeah, like I will be more than happy to be proven wrong again. By Saran. Only because like this last season, it wasn't like it didn't look good at all, and. Like I just it put it like a really pretty sad I will have like a pretty sad face every time we see him like in the starting 11, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I think everybody has similar feelings on him, more or less. And like I said, there's very few people that defend him. Only this one guy that was memeing with me on Twitter that said I had the audacity to disrespect Darwin Serén, our leader. I don't know what all he said, but he was pretty much saying we can't even talk because the Dynamo are trash. And I was like, yeah, that's the whole point, bro. We freaking suck, and Serén sucks too. So, but enough of the hate on our world leader from El Salvador. But the players that already are signed because they had a contract that wasn't expiring this year includes Corey Baird, who we signed from LAFC and who was injured for practically the whole season. Mateo Bahamich, who we signed from the second division in Argentina, who practically featured nothing at all either, just because, I don't even know why.
Match fit.
Match fit. He's a big guy.
Match fit. Match fit vibe.
I don't know. We'll see what happens from that. Ethan Bartlow, our high MLS pick that we got, third pick, a center back.
Who Jan Adidas, yeah.
Was also injured a lot, but featured absolutely nothing. Adalberto Carrasquilla, Panamanian, probably the best, one of the best Panamanian players for the national team who have been doing really well and who we have on loan currently from, remind me what team?
Tenerife, yeah.
I don't think it's Tenerife, but it's some other team in the second division.
I might have mixed it up. Wait, I'll look it up while you read. Yeah, you just keep reading off the list. Yeah. I'll look it up.
And then obviously homegrown midfielders Juan Castilla and Danny Rios. Juan Castillo, who made his debut in the last two games of the Dynamo season. They're both very young, I think just around 18 years old. So we'll see what comes from them this season. Also, another note, I haven't heard anything else, but there's supposed to be an MLS Reserve League coming this year. There's been absolutely no more information about it, but we'll see if that happens so some of our younger players can get more minutes.
FC Cartagena is the team it comes from.
Yes. There you go. There you go. Thank you. Other than that, we have Joe Corona, who, if his contract was expiring, I would have loved to let him go. No offense. he didn't have the impact we expected. Older player, bigger salary. You guys know how that Matt Jordan philosophy works. Our former DP defender, Teenage Adebe, who I think everybody was overly happy, not overly, who was sufficiently happy with coming in and now coming, you know, at the beginning of a preseason, having a full season with Tim Parker. Hopefully he's much improved and, you know, in creature defense. We have Ian Hoffman, who was given some chances at the end of the season, still young. Derek Jones, who I think is a player that, who knows, could really come to life under a new manager, but also we could see him play like nothing this season. So we'll see what comes from him. Ariel Lassiter, which is...
Lassiter.
Probably my least favorite Dynamo player other than Darwin Serin. Adam Lundqvist, who is just exists, in my opinion. I'm going savage right now. Tim Parker, who... Syndrome from The Incredibles, if you guys don't know.
Oh, you need to chill, man. You're going off right now.
No, Tim Parker, there was a lot to be expected from him, but obviously collectively we sucked, and then once he secured the bag from Tim Seagal, he just chilled for the rest of the season, so hopefully we see him, kind of wake up a little bit with Teenage this year. Lastly, we have Memo Rodriguez. There's been a lot of talk of him possibly leaving the Dynamo. With our good friend Dynamo Insider, one day it's he's leaving, one day that he's coming back. So personally, Memo obviously stagnated a lot. Tab, Memo did make the preliminary roster for the Gold Cup, and Tab was like, Memo has to be a USMNT type caliber player because he sees the potential, and it just kind of capitulated under the pressure, I guess. And I think it's personally, I think he needs a new opportunity, but I also think it could be one of those options where it's like, oh, then he becomes the next Chris Wondolowski when he goes to a new team. Lastly, Zerick Valentin, fan favorite, but hopefully a depth piece next year at right back or center back. And lastly, Matias Vera, who was just re-signed with the Dynamo, who I think everybody can agree is usually one of our best players in the midfielder, just a steady presence. Yep. But surprisingly got a lot of hate when it was announced that he was re-signed. So you guys need to chill and reconsider that. That was my long list of players that we fully have on the team at this point.
Exactly.
What do you have to say about that so I can stop talking for a second?
Well, yeah, first of all, Ariel Lassiter. It's our god now. It's going to be either in between Lassiter or Seren. Like, those are our gods now. Those are entities, I'll say. But yeah, like... A lot of the players that should be staying are staying, which is like the most important thing at this point. Obviously, the players that we just trashed on right now, they can definitely prove us wrong at some point. But at the same time, just based on the fact that they had like pretty unsurprising performances, make us hard to hope for better for them. But like I said earlier, a good chunk of the players that have to stay are staying. Obviously, people like Marco Maric is having a pretty horrible season in the back. And obviously, the Damo is still trying to figure out how the backline situation, either with the full, not I want to say backline, but just like the fullback situation. Like, it's one of those things that they have to figure out. Either they had to like add some depth or just like add a starter, because like people like Sarek, I don't think at this point like he has proven to be a starter at this point. Although, like I said before, I'd be happy to be proven wrong, but yeah, they might need like a starter over him at this point. And yeah, just a few more pieces that are missing in the puzzle, honestly.
I mean, hear me out, Andres. I mean, I don't think anybody thinks this is crazy, but I think the Dynamo have like a decent team if a lot of these players are depth pieces in MLS. That could be slightly insulting to the Dynamo, but I mean, it's the truth. A lot, like, there's a lot of players on here that I would love to keep when they're not counted on week in, week out to produce. If we're bringing them off the bench or they have to spot start, I would be a lot happier. And I think Pat Onstead agrees with that, because obviously it's been talked about how we're going to bring in, hopefully, two DPs, a couple of U22 initiative players, and, you know, some more pieces from around the league, some big firepower. And, I mean, for example, do you know how, obviously, if you guys don't know, Charlotte FC is coming into the league. And when that happens, there is an expansion draft, which means that they can pick five players out of all of MLS, but they can only pick one player per a team. So once they pick a team, once they pick a player, for example, from the Dynamo, they can't pick any more, and it's five players total. So this year the Dynamo are unprotected. That means that Charlotte can pick one of our players, and I think they ought to be doing us a favor this year if they pick one of our players, don't you think?
Yeah, it is only from a handful of players from the Dynamo, but yeah, they can choose from like a specific list of particular players from a Dynamo. But well, yeah, it's
we can either like protect 10 or 12. It's either 10, 11, or 12 players. I don't know what they're making this year. So that means that we can make a list of those players that they can absolutely not choose. So that means they're off the table. So the players that are excluded are homegrown players, which I, for example, I don't think Memo is considered a homegrown player anymore. And then we can DPs. Have to be protected, right? They're not like automatically protected.
Yeah, I think homegrowns are automatically protected. I think DPs are not. I think
essentially, yeah. You know, looking at the Dynamo roster right now, if I had to protect 11 players, I mean, let's just go down the list. I would protect, obviously, I think, would you protect Michael Nelson?
Yeah, only goalkeeper.
I mean, it's our only goalkeeper. I mean, okay, let's just say yes, he's our only goalkeeper, but, you know, he was solid. He was not terrible, and he was not amazing. I would protect Michael Nelson. I would protect Kenny Chidebe. I would protect Tim Parker. So that's three players right there, right? Would you protect Lundqvist?
I would say no. Yeah.
I feel like when I'm talking about the expansion draft and Charlotte doing this a favor, I feel like Lundqvist is one of those players that could be good somewhere else, but he also has a pretty big contract. So I wonder if it would be somewhat of a favor if Charlotte picked him from us, so we can get that off of our books. You know,
I feel like leaving Sarek protected would be better, honestly. But obviously, it's like a different position. But at the same time, if I could pair like Sarek to Lundy, I'd say I put protect Lundy over Sarek.
Yeah, and then I mean, Bartlow, would he be protected because he's generation Adidas?
I don't know about that one.
I wouldn't protect him, but I don't think Charlotte would pick him anyways. What else? I would protect Garasquilla. I would protect Vera. Would you protect Memo is a big question. I think that's one of the players that many MLS teams are looking for. I read a tweet that around six MLS teams have inquired about him. I think if Memo is left unprotected, he's one of the players that they definitely take, don't you think?
Most likely, yeah.
If anything, the only reason you protect Memo, I think, is to trade him. To actually get something for him.
Definitely that, or just like keeping Seren. Just using as a trade piece. But if, okay, I'm going to say right now, if Charlotte select Darwin Serena in the expansion draft, I'm gonna get a Diesel tattoo somewhere.
All right, this guy said it, and not me. So
not you, me. That's what I'm saying. If that happens, then it's gonna be good.
I don't think they would choose Palomino if we leave him unprotected. Oh, but he's a homegrown, so never mind. It's not even a question. Other than that, I would protect Fafa, Tyler Pasher, and Griffin Dorsey. Everybody else, I would be okay if Charlotte picks.
But yeah, this
is if Charlotte even picks one of our players, because
yeah,
the ultimate disrespect. There's so many teams in MLS now, but I can see us like leaving some juicy players on the table and Charlotte just freaking saying, "Screw, Dynamo sucks so bad, I'm not going to pick one of these guys."
Yeah, they can't just contain themselves. They're just like waiting for a draft day just to pick Seren. That will be amazing.
Yeah. just question here, Andres. So we're at the 50-minute mark right now. Do we have to finish by 1 hour?
Not really. We can keep going for a little bit more. We can cover rumors, and that should be it.
For the software that we're on.
Oh yeah. So yes and no. We can just keep going a little bit more, like underneath an hour. So we should be good.
Sorry guys, we're on technical difficulties right here. Trying a new software. Yeah. We don't know if we have an hour limit or not, but yeah, we'll just keep going and see what happens. But I guess moving on from those options, you guys let us know who you're excited to keep, and other than Darwin Serena, who you're not happy that we kept. Let's see. Moving on, let's cover some of the big pieces of news. I guess we're about to hire a technical director. I think Andres might know his name. I don't know much about him, so let's see if Andres gives us any information.
Yeah, pretty much like Jeff Carlisle did report that that the Dynamo are pursuing current MLS consultant Asher Mendelson to be a technical director. So he used to work with a Pat Onset with Columbus, pretty much like in the front office, and it pretty much involved in like a pretty successful team along with Pat Onset. And it seems pretty evident only because like Pat in his last interview with Glenn Davis did mention that they're gonna bring in like a big figure to the front office in the next couple of weeks, and that's easy to assume that it's going to be former Columbus Crew co-technical role in Asher Mendelson. Pretty interesting. Obviously just looking at him and all the experience that he had, like he has like almost like 10 years of experience with US soccer, and all this experience 5 to 6 years like Columbus and MLS, which is pretty impressive. Also the fact that we're bringing in like a technical director who's going to work along with a GM. It's interesting to say the least.
I mean, it's good news because the more hands we can get on deck, the better. I think obviously it's been seen in the past how, I guess you can call it a little bit unprofessional, how little help we have had in the front office. Onset talked about it in his introductory press conference, how thin our scouting department is, and how, you know, there needs to be more people putting their heads together to make these decisions. So this is a great start. You know, Onstad, if you guys didn't know, signed the contract with Columbus when he left, or there was a clause that said he could not sign any current Columbus front office staff. So that took away Ezra Hendrickson, who probably would have been a top head coaching candidate. That takes away Caleb Porter, who's the current coach. It's a lot of there's like a lot of people in the Columbus coaching tree and front office staff, and that would have been, you know, great people maybe to have in Houston, but you know, he was limited. And since Asher Mendelson isn't with the Columbus Crew currently, he's still on the table for Pat to sign him. So that should be announced in the next week or two. And Pat also mentioned in Glenn Davis's interview that you know, he didn't mention that guy by name, but we will sign him as technical director. And then also a current acting GM before Pat Onstad was signed was Nick Kauba, who has been with the Dynamo for a few amount of years. He will still be on the in the technical side, kind of working along Asher Mendelson as well. So it's just good news that we're getting more people into the organization with a winning history, with a lot of experience to hopefully, you know, lead us in the right direction.
Oh, yeah. And we can close this one out with the player rumors. the juicy ones. It's been a while since we had like juicy rumors like this, but yeah, the Dynamo are like aligning with what Testigo said about like pursuing a players. The Dynamo are going after a couple players right now, as far as we know.
Bigger names.
The first one being bigger names, obviously. That's like the first thing you can think of whenever you hear these players, but Jonathan Dos Santos and Roberto Alvarado, obviously players in different leagues right now, but names that are have been like floating around the Dynamo sphere lately. And a player like Roberto Alvarado, though, like it's a name, like if you try to combine it with like Matt Jordan or like Gabriel Brenner, it's like a name you probably would have never heard it before, because it's been a pretty ambitious move for Dynamo, at least for Roberto Alvarado, if they pull it off, that is.
I mean, yeah, first of all, Jonathan Dos Santos I don't think he needs introduction. Mexican national team player he's on the fringe of whether he can make the World Cup or not. He's been there in Gold Cup, Nations League, all that kind of stuff. Former Barcelona, Villarreal player. Obviously was a DP at Los Angeles Galaxy. I think he's a quality player. He's 31 years old, so... and he also had a huge salary. Obviously, we bring him to the Dynamo, it would not be as a DP. And at 31 years old, I think a lot of fans are on the fence and questioning whether he still has what it takes and whether we should be paying big money for that kind of guy. But I think on a 2 or 3 year contract, I think we can still get 2 or 3 really great years from him, even at 31. I think he still has it in his tank, and I think he just kind of needs like a new place to where he can be even the main guy. Because I feel like a Galaxy was starting to kind of wash away a little bit. And personally, I'm down for the signing. I think is it a player that moves the needle with fans? I think, especially not just with regular Dynamo fans, but also when wanting to attract, I guess, you know, more of the Hispanic Mexican crowd to PNC now, to PNC Stadium. Jonathan Dos Santos is a name that everybody knows. He's still with the Mexican national team. So yeah, I think it moves the needle. And, you know, like Andres said, the Dynamo have been rumored to be interested in current Mexican national team player Roberto Alvarado, also known as El Piojo. He was a starter on Mexico's bronze-winning Olympic team this summer. He can play as a winger. He can play as a 10. Apparently, from what I've heard, I mean, obviously I've seen him before, and I'm sure Andres has. He's a great player, but he can also be a little bit inconsistent. So, you know, maybe coming to a new challenge in MLS where he can be the star. You know, obviously, Cruz Azul, he has a lot more competition with not competition, but you know, sharing the spotlight with Cabecita Rodriguez, with you know, a lot of other stars from Cruz Azul. It's maybe also easier to get washed away, especially with the media. But those are two of the rumors that we've had actually confirmed so far by Tom Bogert, it was Jonathan Dos Santos, and then Roberto Alvarado, actually confirmed by Mexican media with Carlos Cordova from Cruz Azul and Miquel de Janona from Tijuana. So exciting times for the Dynamo. It's not often in the past that we've been linked to names this big. So I think that just shows intention, whether those happen or not. And I just want to leave the last couple minutes off with a player I've been keeping my eye on lately, Andres, who is a Dynamo Academy product, a left back who also has been playing a bit of center back in the college game, who is Kieran Sargent for the Georgetown. I think they're going to the finals of the College Cup in NCAA. They've been one of the best teams this season in all of NCAA soccer. Sargent is a freshman who comes from, the Southeast Houston region, kind of where I also grew up, Clear Lake, League City area. So that's pretty cool to see him having success there. He's been starting most games for Georgetown. He's been a player that I've seen mentioned a lot, who's been very successful. So, you know, whether Georgetown wins anything or not this year, NCAA, that's pretty impressive that he's come in and start for the best college team in the nation. Kind of like Reggie Cannon, when he went to college for a year, played for UCLA, and then came and signed for FC Dallas. I'm curious whether that's a name at all on Pat Onstad and his team's radar for maybe bringing on a homegrown contract.
Hopefully so. Like, Kieran has been a name that has been floating around a lot through the academy, and yeah, like it's good that he's in a program as big as that one, and and getting that much success already. But yeah, hopefully he wins the College Cup. But yeah, shout out to Kieran, of course, and shout out to Dynamo Rumor, since we need those right now. But yeah.
Yeah, so we just hit the hour mark and the recording is still going. We were afraid it was going to shut off. But regardless, I think we've hit all our topics that we need to for this off-season / end of season recap. Andres, you have anything else to add?
Yeah, this might be the last episode of the year, depending on how the off-season goes from here. Like, we may have some more episodes. But yeah, like I said early in the episode, thank you guys so much for supporting us in 2021. It's been a rough one, but obviously being like the first year with the podcast and just trying to get around it with our lives going on. But yeah, you guys have been awesome, and we've taken all the feedback, and yeah, we look forward to making more episodes and just getting in the groove of recording those with our lives, you know?
Yeah, I know. Like Andres said, thank you guys that have asked where we've been in the podcast. You know, like you guys know, it's been crazy, but hopefully a lot of off-season moves to come. We have, like we've said, the MLS Super Draft coming up after MLS Cup. We have the MLS Expansion Draft, Re-entry Draft, every draft you want, every draft you can think of. There's going to be movement. There's going to be transfers, you know. Obviously, the Dynamo have a pretty terrible track record in the Super Drafts. We had a high draft pick last year, but he didn't play a minute for the Dynamo this year. But, you know, maybe now we have a Pat Onstad at the helm. Maybe we finally get lucky and pick one of those rookie of the year type players that starts week in, week out for us. So you guys have that to look out for. Follow us on Twitter. Follow, obviously, what's your Foxtrot handle exactly, Andres?
Dynamic Foxtrot.
Dynamic Foxtrot. Follow Andres at I think it's just at Andres Naranjo, and you can follow me at Rubio Soccer 35. You know, we'll keep you guys up to date with all Dynamo news, and we'll let y'all know if we have another. We'll decide if we have another podcast coming soon, depending on how much news is going on with all the December moves. And if not, we'll keep you all updated through Twitter and have a new episode coming in early January.
Yeah, and thank you guys for tuning into the hour mark. Hopefully, you guys should be listening to this if we haven't been cut off already. But yeah, you guys have a happy holiday season with your loved ones, and stay noodle.
Stay noodle, y'all.